They have this guy's ID in his hand, and then he decides he's going to flee. Then he goes various speeds northbound on 49th Street all the way into Pasco County. Throughout that time, he almost hit a Sunstar ambulance, almost hit multiple vehicles, ran red lights left and right. The beginning of it, once it's like heating up, I think once he got on the Bayside and it was kind of like, okay, this is real. I was ready. I was like, okay, this is great. Like, you know, comp center's pretty cold. I like whip off my jacket. I throw it down. The supervisor tells the story.
Stand up.
Yeah. Because it was like, I can't imagine how it is for deputies because I'm ready to go and I'm just in here.
This is 56, a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office podcast. I'm Ricky Butler with Laura Sullivan and Ashley Cooley. I think I can speak for everybody when I say I really enjoy highlighting the people that work behind the scenes at the Sheriff's Office, like not just on the podcast, but just in general, because there are literally hundreds and hundreds of people that come to work every day to help us move our mission forward. And obviously the public is most familiar with the deputies they see on the street and those green and whites. The Tahoes, but there are people that make sure those Tahoes are running. There are people that make sure that the deputies have the equipment that they need and manage all that. And there are people that make sure the deputies are safe and going to the places they need to go. And those are our dispatchers. So we have had a lot of requests to get somebody from the comm center on 56, and we are excited to have Assistant Supervisor April Bonneman with us on this episode of 56. You're looking at, did I mess something up already?
Public safety telecommunicator.
Public's,
I'm not actually.
You're not?
No, that's, I'm an assistant communications supervisor.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's a 911.
That works. That works. That
just know. A dispatcher is public safety telecommunicator.
If I could drop this mic, I would.
That's fine. I just want to make sure that we're not saying the the wrong term.
Same. And people are going to be. You mean me, because I'm,
Well, yeah.
Up until 15 months ago, I was a public safety telecommunicator, but now I still do that.
And I think we should leave that in too. But, and we're going to break all that down because we, obviously, people have a tremendous amount of respect for what y'all do, but we don't know much about it. So this is, I am going to learn more on this episode than I think I have any episode we've done so far. So I'm looking forward to that. But before that happens, Ashley has a question.
I do. You're a ghost.
Okay.
I'm a ghost.
You're a ghost. What place are you going to haunt? It can be where you would want to haunt or where you think that you would haunt.
I'm a ghost that can mess with people.
Yes, you're haunting.
Hmm. Or is the question, where do I think I'm going to die?
No, my question is,
that's definitely a back alley somewhere.
Stuck, right? Like wherever they...
Well,
you could choose where you're going to be.
You can choose where you're going to be or where you think you're going to be.
Okay.
Whatever context you want for that.
I always threaten my son that I'm going to haunt him. But now that I think about it, that would probably be weird to be following him around as he gets older. So, not that.
Okay. All right.
Can I move around?
Yeah.
It's a topic. Like, it's a one place, but it might move forever.
Oh.
I mean, sure. It's pretty open.
Wherever Taylor Swift is performing that day.
You're haunting a person.
To see the Eras Tour forever.
The Eras Tour forever. Yeah.
Do you want to haunt her personally? Like
no,
follow her on
no,
just
I don't
the
want to
concert?
You
have to sign an NDA probably.
Yeah, I don't want to bother
That's
her
That's very
at
unobtrusive
all.
Of you.
I just
you.
Want to see the show over and over again.
Okay. All right. Ashley? Nice. You already told
it. I know. I this was one I didn't actually prepare my answer for, so I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys this time, but I'll probably be wherever plants are.
Plants?
Yeah, I'll be in a garden somewhere.
Okay.
Not really bothering anybody. Just
Ashley, the garden ghost?
Yeah.
With like your spade
I'll
running
be
around?
Painting and taking care of plants.
I like
or
it.
Or trying to. I don't know.
The Ashley, the handy ghost. I would probably want to go to like actual haunted houses that do like public tours because there's always somebody that's like, oh, this is BS, just to be there to screw with them.
That's me.
Yeah.
Usually.
No, I think that would be awesome, like to go to haunted houses.
No, that's a really good answer.
Yeah, because there's always the skeptics that are in there and that would just be a lot of fun. So I think haunted house.
It would be.
So pretty much anywhere in Savannah.
Yeah.
Or St. Augustine.
Yeah, both of those places.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, that was a good question. That was good.
Yeah, that was.
That was a fun one, I feel like.
Yeah. Yes.
Some of the other ones are a little deep.
They can take dark turns when Laura throws out some weird, weird answer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm never weird, Ricky.
No.
To be fair, though, any of our conversations can turn dark pretty quick.
They tend to.
So. Yeah, we're PR professionals. We're pretty twisted.
Especially in our line of work.
Correct.
Yeah. Everybody Correct. Is pretty messed up. All right, April, where'd you grow up? What's your hero origin story?
My origin story, I was born at St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Pete.
Okay, we're getting
very beginning. Yeah.
But I'll skip ahead after that. I don't know. There's a chance my husband's mom wrote my birth certificate, though.
Really?
Because she worked there at the time.
Okay.
So, but we don't know for sure.
Okay.
Destined from birth. Look at that.
Like that. Look at that.
Yeah, there was twists and turns, but we made our way
we
back.
We made it.
Kind of like here, how I got here.
Right.
So then mostly in West Lelman, I think. I say Lelman. Some people say Lelman. I'm not really sure what the correct pronunciation is, but
we call it Squad One.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So
true.
Exactly. I grew up in Squad One for the most part. And then I did spend 2.5 years in foster care, and that was in Dunedin, another city that we cover.
Mm-hmm.
Great little town. I love it up there. I still go visit there all the time. And then went back to Lelman. And yeah, I don't know how specific. Like,
no.
How do we want
to just set it up? Where'd you go to school?
Elementary school was 74th Street Elementary and then Dunedin Elementary School. Did you go to 74th Street?
I sure did.
Oh my God. Remember I was telling you?
That was where?
Yeah. She might be Ashley Cooley that I went to elementary school with.
I was there.
What year did you graduate?
From elementary school?
High school.
Oh, wait.
Okay. So maybe. Yeah. I was 07. So.
Okay.
It's possible. And then weirdly, all the way from Lelman, and then I was zoned for Madeira Beach Middle School. So Madeira for middle school. And then that's kind of where my criminal justice origins started.
Okay.
I went to Stetson Law School, was doing kind of a mock trial thing. And they
middle school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they needed like actors for the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I think I want to be a lawyer. So mm-hmm. then I applied to Criminal Justice Academy at Pinellas Park High School and went to there for high school.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that it's always interesting. This like everybody we've talked to has kind of a different hook of what mm-hmm. kind of got them on this path, and they've always ended up going different ways.
Yeah.
So Pinellas Park High School, you want to be a lawyer?
Yes, at first. Yeah, and then I met a friend, one of my best friends to this day, and she badgered me for about 3 months to come to Police Explorers at Pinellas Park Police Department. That's where we go way back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, that's weird. Like I talked about, I was in foster care, so
right.
I was in foster care, so I'm like, I don't really have great view of law enforcement, really, mm-hmm. growing up and everything. I had just negative memories for the most part. So when she kept, I was like, I don't know about that. I'm not going to go to the police department. Who goes there willingly? That's kind of weird.
Right.
But I did. Took her a couple months. I did. And then the first night we were there, the advisor actually was, he's a sergeant with us now, Sergeant Horton.
Mm-hmm.
He was my advisor that night. They were doing high-risk traffic stops and the lights and everything in the dark. And I just thought that was so cool. My nerd is going to show now, but uh-huh. I thought it was really cool. And I was hooked at that point. So then there was a long period of time where I was like, I'm going to be a law enforcement officer. I'm going to be a police officer. Then that changed.
So Explorers, they're now cadets.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what the cadets do.
So your main responsibility is a meeting once a week. At least that's how it was when I went there. Mm-hmm. I think it's still pretty much the same now. You go to a meeting once a week, and then there's optional things you can do on top of that. One of the things we did was shooting practice every other week. So then every other week you've got 2 days where you're going there after school, kind of in the evening time. And we also do a lot of volunteer events. We would help the city with like traffic control at the band shell. We would cook food there. I remember there was a time where I'm on the grill learning how to grill. I'm like 15 years old and they're like, yeah, just go grill some burgers. You wouldn't believe how bad you smell after working the grill for a few hours. So directing traffic, we did street cleanups. After one of my best memories was after Hurricane Charlie hit in Punta Gorda. It was supposed to hit us directly.
Right.
Made that turn at the last second. We went down there and helped some first responders clean up their properties down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool to experience. Probably the most fun thing is ride-alongs.
Right.
Going ride-alongs.
You did a lot of ride-alongs, right?
Yeah. I did. I think it was close to 80 or something like
Whoa.
That.
Oh, might as well.
I think John Shea is a lieutenant with Pinellas Park. Yeah. I think he might be the only one that beat me at the time.
With so, more?
Yeah.
He's a big nerd, so that makes sense.
Absolutely. We were talking about ride-alongs, and a specific officer's name came up, and I was like, yeah, that was my first ride-along ever was with him. First ride-along, first call. I'm 14 years old. We go to this call, and there's a guy that's passed out drunk in a van, and we end up arresting him. I think he got arrested for DUI or disorderly intox at minimum. He ended up fighting the officers right in front of me, and you can't really intervene, so you're just a spectator.
Right.
This was pre-tasers.
Right.
So there's not much they could do except for just get on top of him and control him. So they ended up having to hobble him. And then they pick him up, put him back in the cruiser, and we took him to the jail where he had, you know, urinated all over the back of the thing. I don't know why all this stuff kept me interested.
Right.
It should have been like, if you're 14 years old and you're seeing all this stuff happen, you probably want to, like, run away from that.
At what point during that time, like, did your interest shift away from law enforcement?
It was actually after Police Explorers. I had gone to USF for college. Mm-hmm. I split my time between St. Pete and Tampa, and I did two different internships during college. One was here. It was kind of an abbreviated one. Actually, shout out to the sheriff. He got us in and did a couple ride-alongs here, but also did a pretty lengthy one at Pinellas Park. And mm-hmm. one of my ride-alongs then, an officer said, okay, April, you're old enough now. I feel like I can tell this to you. Mm-hmm. You have to accept, if you want to be a law enforcement officer, that your life is worth a $10 piece of crack. You could die for a $10 piece of crack. And that shook me. Not in a way where I would say, like, my life is worth more than someone else's, but because I'd been on so many ride-alongs and been in this culture for quite a few years at this point, I would not want to be a law enforcement officer and my backup be scared. That'd be the worst thing ever. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, like, shifted at that point. Mm. Went back to the lawyer thing for a little bit. And then a lawyer also told me, oh, this is a miserable job. There's no rewards in this. Don't do it. I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? And then I had a friend who still works here. And he was like, you know, the sheriff's office is hiring for all kinds of stuff. You should take a look. And at the time, I applied for dispatch and CPI when we still did CPI. Mm-hmm. Basically, dispatch called me to do testing first. And it was a little bit of a transition because at first they actually offered me our teletype position mm-hmm. Because I think they were like, oh, she's a little wishy-washy. We want someone that's going to stay in the comm center for a few years. Mm-hmm. If we're going to invest all this training in them.
Sure.
Maybe she still wants to be a deputy or whatever. So we're not really confident in that. So we're going to offer this other position. Well, one of the people that got the dispatch position didn't make it through background check. Mm-hmm. So then I was next on the eligibility list. So
there it is.
Same thing. Got here, fell in love. I'm like, this is so cool.
And then nobody's scared you off yet.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So what does that look like as far as, first of all, what's the difference between teletype and dispatcher?
There's three main steps in dispatch. So if you call the non-emergency line, the 582-6200, you'll get, we call them, their communications teletype technicians is their full title. Mm-hmm. And they will answer that non-emergency line. If you need to go somewhere else, get transferred somewhere else, they'll transfer you. Then they also, if you're a deputy or you're calling to enter something into the system, like NCIC, mm-hmm. they're in charge of all of that for entries and removals, basically. So they've got a very busy job.
This is the part where you ask what NCIC is.
True. What is NCIC?
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. National Crime Information Center. And then there's a Florida version of that as well. So if your car gets stolen, if you entered into the Florida one, people in Florida see it. But then if you enter into the national one, which we do, if it's, you know, somewhere in another state and someone runs the tag in, they're like, oh, this is a stolen vehicle out of Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. They'll see it.
What kind of stuff are they entering, the teletype technicians?
The biggest thing is people. If you're a missing person, whether you're a runaway, we have the purple alert process now, mm-hmm. silver alert process now. FDLE is in charge of actually making the silver alerts happen. But as far as entering the person is missing,
a deputy calls mm-hmm. in, and that's where they're transferred to in order to give the information. So that
okay. yeah, they don't okay. actually even need to be transferred because that's just the main number.
That's the okay.
Yeah, they're
okay.
the first step. So,
but teletype is like, When you run a name or something at NCIC or FCIC, it's going to show up there.
Yeah, right? we have a system, a records check system in the comm center, and all the things that teletype operators around the country enter, we will see in dispatch. So it's really important for them to, like, get it right.
Is that also for warrants in there?
No, warrants actually has their own teletype process.
Okay.
Our teletype operators will confirm warrants from other agencies, uh-huh. but our wards department has their own complete separate teletype system.
For Pinellas County warrants?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So back getting started, what does that process look like? Like, there's an evaluation process to see, like, if, like, what you get tested first before you get offered the position, obviously.
You get tested first before you even get an interview.
Okay.
We have something called Critical, mm-hmm. which is a program that centers are using all over the country that basically it's a Main Street USA type of area and map and everything, and you listen to phone calls, also making decisions at the same time. We want to be able to see that you can multitask and think on your feet. Part of it's like, okay, does this incident that this person's describing need fire, medical, or police? Mm-hmm. And then you can click one or three or whatever it is.
So you're just listening to that, step one.
Step one of like crit call or
crit call is step one of the hiring process.
Gotcha. Is there adrenaline factor in that involved in that, or is it just seeing if you can multitask?
I think it's mostly just seeing if you can multitask. I mean, if we could determine how your adrenaline's going to function and how you're going to do long-term multitasking, that'd be great. If you can create a test that does that, that would be awesome.
Wondering if it was like someone calls in, you know, and it's a fake thing, but it's like, oh my God, there's blood everywhere. You know, if there was some type of simulation.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been like 9 years now since I've taken it. So I don't remember if the people were like super elevated or anything on the phone, but it's basically to see like multitasking, decision-making, if you can hear, type, and like read at the same time, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It basically replaces just a normal typing test, because we need to know more than if you can just type pretty fast.
Right.
And then after that, you go through the interview process. If they select you from the interview process, then you go into the background check, which includes working with the detective here in HR. Ours also, I don't know if every position does this, but we also test your hearing and your vision before you come work in the comm center.
If they test hearing, I wouldn't have made it. So
it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely need to be able to hear.
Yeah. So then you get through that kind of stuff. Then you're hired. Sheriff signs off. Mm-hmm. Then what?
First week that you're here is in call-taking classroom is what we call it. So our training is split up into two main phases, the call-taking phase and the dispatch phase. So you have a week of classroom in each one. So your first week here is you talk to HR a little bit that first day, and then you come visit with us at the end of that day, and then you're in the classroom, kind of learning our systems, learning the agency, that type of thing. And then you work with a trainer side-by-side and on-the-job training, your OJT, for up to six weeks of actually being on the phone. So it could be longer depending on how our staffing levels are.
Do you have a lot of people like drop out at that point?
Not usually during call taking. Dispatch is usually where, if someone's going to not be able to make it, it's going to be during dispatch. Call taking is kind of one task at a time. You could have someone yelling, or it could be emotional, or it could be difficult, but dispatch is a whole nother ball game. So when we find that people can't make it through, it's usually during dispatch.
Which that would be, you're on your own doing it?
No, you're still with a trainer, but it's actually being on the radio with the deputies on
Understood.
A channel.
Okay.
And those roles, we'll say, call taking and dispatching, those roles are interchangeable based on like a dispatcher or a public safety telecommunicator.
Kind of.
Public safety telecommunicator.
You got it. So our agency is kind of different and unique in that way. So we actually contract Pinellas County 911 to take most of our calls.
Okay.
So if our staffing level permits it, we'll be on the non-emergency line answering calls. So once you talk to that switchboard operator, say you need a deputy, but it's not an emergency and you didn't call 911, called a non-emergency line, then you could get one of us on the phone. Mm-hmm. But our 911 calls are actually handled by Pinellas County 911 from start to finish. You don't have to get transferred out to another police agency. They just handle the whole thing.
Right.
And then once they put the call into the system, they send it over electronically through an interface where our computer systems talk to each other, our CADs talk to each other. We pick up that call, we read it, we make sure it's our jurisdiction, then we choose what deputies we put on it.
Okay. So
if somebody calls 911, you never actually talk to the person who's called 911?
Nope.
Okay, that's all...
Different agents.
Okay.
Yep. They're in the same room up there with us, right next to us. My husband actually does that. So I'm sure that'll come up at some point.
That was my question, what the difference was between telecommunicators that work for us versus the county.
Mm-hmm. So the telecommunicators that work for the county, they will answer they'll answer non-emergency calls too when they get them. Mm-hmm. But their primary function is 911. And then their dispatchers, once you make it through from their call taking phase to their radio phase, they actually dispatch the fire department and EMS on the radios.
Gotcha.
The call takers do?
No, they have dispatchers.
It's a similar process. Exactly. It just goes to different people. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Cause that's always, it's just, there's a lot. I mean, of course, before we moved into the building we're in now, we were kind of all over the place, but now everybody's kind of in one regional center, but it's still multiple entities that are in there together.
Yeah. The good thing is now, I mean, we just started dispatching for Pinellas Park a couple months ago. So now if you're calling for any police jurisdiction in the county, if you're calling 911, I should say, for any police jurisdiction in the county, except for Clearwater, Tarpon Springs, St. Pete and Largo, you're going to stay on the phone with us the whole time. And by us, I mean a 911 operator. Mm-hmm. But we work hand in hand.
And for those then, if they need police after they call 911, mm-hmm. the caller actually gets changed, switched over mm-hmm. to the other agency, yep. to Largo or St. Pete.
Yeah,
okay. It's pretty seamless, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And sometimes they stay on the phone if, like, the fire department or EMS is going as well with them and they need to go through medical stuff with you. They'll stay on the phone the whole time until one of the two agencies, whether it's police or FD, depending on what kind of call it is, get there first. But sometimes FD stages.
So I may have missed this with our telecommunicators, you said they are not directly talking to the person on 911?
No, they're not.
So what are they doing at that point?
At that point, when you come in for our shifts, you're either assigned to one of the four channels, patrol 1, 2, 3, or 4, or radio relief. That's our primary five functions. And then if we have extra people, you might spend some time answering the non-emergency line. You might be in switchboard helping them if they're shorthanded. Radio relief is where if one of the other dispatchers on patrol 1 through 4 need a break, or mm-hmm. do they do the lunch breaks and everything? So they're actually mostly talking to the deputies on the radio.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that sounds like you're listening to what's happening and on that particular channel and seeing if there's any assistance that you need to provide or getting more information on what's happening, in order to put it into the notes of the incident.
Yeah, the notes of the incident, so that call ticket that comes through from County 911, they're actually able to update the call at the same time we're able to read it, and we can update it, they can read it. So our CADs talk to each other like in real time.
Yeah.
So if we have a question for them and, say we need information a little quicker than they're getting it, just because the deputy's almost there or something like that, they're very good at getting those questions answered for us ahead of time usually. But if, deputy's just, he happens to be right down the street and we need to know description a little faster than you're getting it, we might ask them in a message and then they can just put it right into the call notes and we can relay that over the radio to the deputies.
So I did not realize that at all.
Yeah. There's a lot happening.
Type a message to 911.
Mm-hmm.
And then they type back. So you never actually talk to the 911 person.
Yeah, I mean, most of them, if it's something urgent like that, they'll just put it right into the call notes. And then maybe after they'll say, like, hey, it's in the notes, because that's the most efficient way. Not tell me what it is and then put it in the notes. If you put it in the notes, I can see it right away and the deputy can see it right away too.
Man, my head is just like
spinning
right now. I know.
We just started.
So let me stop for a second. CAD, mm-hmm. what does that stand for?
Computer Aided Dispatch.
Okay.
As a dispatcher, like you're assigned to a channel. You mentioned we have four channels. Like mm-hmm. you come in on your shift. Are you always assigned to the same channel?
Nope.
Okay.
Our goal, so I'm an assistant supervisor. Mm-hmm. I currently don't write anyone's schedule because I am not assigned to a shift. But when I was assigned to a shift, our goal is to get you through all five positions because we work 5/8. Mm-hmm. So the goal would be you're working 1, 2, 3, 4 radio relief or some combination of that throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So, but no, you don't usually know until you come in that day. We do a read off. Our read-off consists of about 20 minutes where we'll either just give you your position if we don't have anything to tell you for the day, and then you go, you get a few minutes to yourself before you go in the comm center.
Okay.
Are the channels, are they lined up with squads in any kind of way?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The channels are geographically split up. So Patrol 1 is just recently was realigned when we started dispatching for Pinellas Park. So Channel 1 is Squad 1 or Lauman or Lailman. And then Pinellas Park Police and Kansas City Police Department.
Okay.
Channel 2 is everything from Park Boulevard to Gulf to Bay Boulevard. That's our jurisdiction. So that includes Seminole, unincorporated Largo, over by the jail. The jail's included the airport all the way over to Gandy Boulevard. That's on Channel 2. And then Channel 3 is we call it the beaches, basically. It's how we summarize it. So it's everywhere from Tierra Verde up into Bel Air Beach or Bel Air Shore, including Bel Air Police Department. Now Gulfport Police Department's on there. And Treasure Island Police and Indian Shores Police.
Wow.
So that channel we actually dispatch for one. Five different agencies on it.
Plus our stuff on the beach.
Yeah, we would be the fifth agency. Yeah.
Okay.
But those are cities. There's like cities that break down too because there's
right.
there's like 26 different cities in Pinellas County that people don't, I think it's 26.
24.
24? Okay. Yeah.
So, and then Channel 4 is?
Everything North County. So everything north of Gulf to Bay to the Pasco or Hillsborough County line, that's ours.
Okay.
And technically on that screen, that's where it gets really confusing. You still also see Tarpon Springs calls because mm-hmm. they have their own police department, they have their own dispatchers, but they use the same CAD system as us.
So it's call communication.
So we see their calls. Yeah. So if they need to, tell us, hey, we have this hot call, can you take a look and bolo it out? Be on the lookout. If you didn't know what that meant, we can just say, okay, I see your call. Or if they need backup or if we need backup, we're really good about working with each other. Sometimes their officers will just come up on our channel and let us know that they're en route. Pretty great.
So when you guys are coming on shift, obviously things don't stop. It's like, oh, all right, everybody stop. Everybody park for a couple minutes. We're going to change out the shift. So when you come in, sit down at your console, what does that look like? What are you doing?
It's a physical plug. So if you're a dispatcher, it's a physical plug that's connected from your headset that you wear into, we call it a jack that plugs into the radio system. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do, as long as you know you're not 10-3, meaning the channel's not restricted for a specific person or incident at that time, you can switch the channel over to another dispatcher. If it is 10-3, you're going to finish that out, right, basically. Sure. So you take that plug, you physically plug in, then you're hearing the radio, but you're still under that other person's computer system. So you try to do it as quickly as possible. It's like a race against time. Some people bring out a notebook and pen. Some of us are just, you know, we're glutton for punishment or just braver, we think we're better or something. I'm not sure. And we don't take out the pen and paper. And if you don't, it usually burns you. There you go. Deputy needs to do a traffic stop when you're down. So then you're scrambling to get the pen and paper out real quick.
Right.
But yeah.
So once you're plugged in and you know you're lucky enough that something is not in the middle of happening, you're probably looking at like figure out where deputies are, what's happening. Mm-hmm. You guys have 5 monitors. Right,
it's an amazing set. Can we get something like that, Ricky? Maybe like 3 monitors.
I can hardly keep up with what I have on 2. I don't want any more.
But the desks go up and
down. There's all kinds of cool amazing stuff.
Yep.
But like, what information is there? What is there all the time for you?
That's there all the time is on our right side. We have a radio console, the Motorola system. You have to make sure that you're selected into the right channel. So sometimes, you know, we're wiping down the desk with sanitary napkins or whatever at shift change to disinfect, and you'll maybe bump the mouse, and you have to make sure you're radio selected.
So you're actually over there like analog tuning something. No. You're clicking into where you need to be.
Nope. Actually, Captain Danzig has one of those in his office.
Oh, does he?
Really?
Yeah, we saw the other day. It's like this big.
An old-timey one?
Yeah, it's like massive. So the radio's up all the time, and then you have CAD. But CAD has multiple different parts. You've got your pending incidents, so calls you haven't dispatched yet. You've got your assigned incidents. Those are calls that have a deputy on it. We have power lines, which are what we use to input information into the system to be able to put someone on something. Mm-hmm. We can use it to dispatch someone. We can use it to run something, meaning check if it's stolen or missing. You can use those to send messages to people, so power lines. And then we've got the unit status screen, which you select specifically to that channel. At least at supervisors, we select everyone, but dispatchers select specific to that channel. So
all the units that would be assigned to that channel. Okay.
Yeah. So that includes a ton of units that are really where we're all seeing them. So like the squad, you know, the area that the sheriff would be in, everyone's selected on that. Everyone's selected on where detectives would be or prisoner transport or CSI. And then we select down to the specifics of that channel. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's the unit status screen. And then we also have a map. And then a messaging system. And then in addition to that, if you can believe it, we keep 911 active calls up. The main purpose of that, the thing we use it the most for is if, you know, we get a crash or something or deputy's like, hey, I'm out with a crash, is FD already going? We can glance over real quick and see. And you can see it's already there. We get a lot of good information from that too, because sometimes we'll be in another jurisdiction. Our cars say county. They don't say a specific little area. So we're kind of everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, we keep a couple different resources up. We've got a resource for mapping called Rapid SOS that we use. If you call 911 and you hang up really fast, sometimes if your phone is strong enough, it'll keep mapping even after you've hung up. So
yeah, how close can you get? How close can you pinpoint somebody?
I just saw one the other day. We were testing a new system, and I think it said like 32 yards or something.
Okay.
It's pretty accurate, but I think that's even like being conservative. It's pretty accurate.
It's a lot. I just can't, like.
You have to sit in there, right? Yeah,
that's only dispatch.
Sit in for a couple hours.
That's only just the one piece of it.
Not to say only, because that's a lot.
Right.
It's no a lot kidding. To deal with.
Yeah. I mean, so what is, like, the most common, like, task, I guess?
A traffic stop.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good one, because as a point of clarity, also, like, when a deputy's doing a traffic stop, we know they have the computers and everything, the technology. They can run the tag themselves. They can do all this stuff. But you guys are involved because?
Officer safety.
Okay.
So if you, first of all, depending on like what's going on with them, they might not be able to use their computer.
Sure.
They could see a car doing something that's really blatant that they need to stop right away. Mm-hmm. So they need to get on the radio and call it out to us instead. Mm-hmm. Plus that tells everyone that else that's working in that area, hey, there's a unit on a traffic
right.
stop.
That makes sense.
As we know, you say routine traffic stop. There's nothing routine about anything we do, but mm-hmm. definitely not traffic stop. They can okay. go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Right.
So yeah, traffic stop is the most common task we have.
So when they go on a traffic stop, they'll call out their call sign 1050, mm-hmm. which is the 10 code for traffic stop. Mm-hmm. And then they'll usually do the tag, right?
No, location is
location.
First.
Right,
this might be my like, I'm going to drill this in right now. And it's for a specific reason. So that power line I was talking about that mm-hmm. we complete our tasks on, mm-hmm. It's in a specific order. It's 1050, the unit identifier. So 13 alpha, mm-hmm. and then it's location, mm-hmm. and then it's tag, and then description. So we want it, we call it LTD, location, tag, description.
Okay.
That's why we want it.
So, and then there, so then you do run the tag.
Mm-hmm. So this, our, once you put it on there, our system runs the tag automatically, but not the RO. So we'll go ahead and
registered owner.
Thank you.
Good job. Yes, good job. Sorry.
It's almost like you used to be a cop, Laura.
Yeah. So our system doesn't run the registered owner automatically. What's a cool fact is the deputy system does. So mm-hmm. once they run a tag, it runs the RO for them automatically, and then it voices it back to them.
Okay.
You know, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And ours, we actually have to like go through and make that decision if the person's, you know, we call it 1054, 1029 negative for wants or warrants. Mm-hmm. And then, we also look to see, like, is their license valid? Do they have any hot files? That's the biggest thing for us is being able to relay to a deputy or an officer, you know, this person has a hot file that says they might fight you, or they have a history of having weapons and they don't like law enforcement, stuff like that.
Talk about hot files. How do they get in the system?
There's various different ways. There's tons of them in there. We're actually trying to kind of get them a little more under control with the new CAD project that's going on. So most of the primary way is for a deputy that's had direct contact with the person to say, we need to put a hot file on this person that says XYZ. Uh-huh. And then the dispatcher or the deputy will send it up to the supervisor, the comm center supervisor, and we enter it into the system.
And that's also an FCIC, NCIC, yes?
No, that's a local, hot files are local to our CAD. There is something that's called a hot record hit, which is like if a car was stolen mm-hmm. or if a person was wanted, those would come up as hot record hits. But the actual hot files we're talking about are specific to our CAD.
Gotcha.
So traffic stop, they initiate the traffic stop, you give them what information they need. And to our listeners, I mean, this is all happening while you're going, oh, shit, pulling over, right. You know, like this is what's happening. They're getting out. They're walking up to the vehicle. You guys are still potentially giving them information they usually would wait to approach the vehicle until they hear from you guys.
No, we actually don't tell them. We only tell them if there's a problem.
Okay.
So if they just call out a traffic stop and the car's not stolen, the person's not wanted, there's no weapons or anything like that pop up any hot files, mm-hmm. We kind of leave them alone. So until 3 to 5 minutes is our SOP.
Okay.
And for traffic stops specifically, we're pretty hard and fast about that rule. So after 3 minutes, we check on you. We just send you, I'm going to use 13 alpha again because I used it before. We just say 13 alpha, you 10-4. Mm-hmm. And they say 10-4 and we move on.
Good. And then
what did you just say? 13 alpha?
13 alpha.
Sector
13 alpha.
Okay.
So then unless they need something else, you're done with that.
For the most part. I mean, if it's been, you know, quite a while, like you're still on this normal trap, you haven't asked for a backup, you haven't asked for anything else. It's been like, you know, 15 minutes or something. We're going to check in again.
But like you're still monitoring. I don't know what word to use. You're still kind of monitoring mm-hmm. that deputy on that stop until they clear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because anything that's on our assigned incident screen, we're still really looking at making sure everything's up to date.
What happens if they don't answer?
Right.
That's a whole process. Yeah. So we'll say radio 13 alpha, and then they don't answer. We'll call them again, and then we'll start to use their full name, based, not their first name, but we'll say like Deputy Smith. So radio to 13 alpha, Deputy Smith.
Is that your mom calling your first, middle, and last name? Yeah, you're really in trouble.
Your government name going over the radio. Yeah. And then we also use the alert tone, which really gets people's attention. So that beep, boop, beep, boop noise. Yeah. I hate when we have to get to that point, but I've had a couple where it was legitimate. So, and then if they still don't answer after all of that, a couple of other things happen. By that point, multiple deputies are already on their way to them.
Responding.
But we're going to make sure we're going to specifically tell deputies to go to them if they aren't already. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to 10-3 the channel until someone gets there and makes contact with them.
10-3.
So stop transmitting. The traffic is now restricted to only that deputy in that incident.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that's just insane on the, like I'm like I said, I could go in a million directions asking you questions right now. But the thing that's insane is you're telling me that every single deputy or any agencies we dispatch for are on channel one at the same time. You're listening to all of them at the same time. They're all doing traffic stops and things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to just stay on top of it. Like, at what point, because you have the radio relief, like, is that a point, like, if there's just a lot happening when they would jump in? If no.
No. That's okay. Us. I mean, that technically, no. But the longer answer to that is, if you're really drowning and you need someone to, hey, can you call this agency because they asked me to give them a BOLO and I physically can't give them the BOLO mm-hmm. right now, we'll just turn around and ask our coworkers. Sometimes we'll also be listening to each other mm-hmm. And we'll know, like, hey, I'm going to do this for you. Like, right. We'll poke into each other's channels is what we call it. And we call it poke because the icon to select the squads is literally an eyeball. Mm-hmm. So we poke the eye and we'll go into their channel. And some people want that help. Some people don't. So you just kind of have to, like, know who you're working with.
Yeah.
Some people are like, no, I'm good. I got it. And they do. Like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be on your own if we didn't have confidence in you to be able to do it.
Sure, sure.
How many deputies might you be wrangling at one time on like, in the busiest channel? Or I mean, deputies and officers?
So we have, like, a core group that we'd actually be physically dispatching, meaning if we get a call for service, those are our options. Mm-hmm. It can be anywhere from, I would say, 15 to 25, maybe. Maybe 30. So it just depends on what channel you're on. Like, channel 4 has a little bit more because every city up there has a traffic initiative, basically,
right.
A traffic detail. So you've got, on top of your three squads that you dispatch for in a couple of contract cities up there as well, you've got people that are doing traffic details.
So you could theoretically have 30 people doing 30 separate things mm-hmm. at any time and have to, how do you keep track of it? How does your brain do that?
I mean, it's organizational. So we have a thing on there called sticky notes uh-huh. and each little call thing has a little icon that looks like a post-it note. And that means there's something in that call you haven't read yet. So I keep track of my stuff by those sticky notes. Uh-huh. And also, even when they're all done, I'm like, okay, they're all cleared. But like, I feel like I have to do something. I'll just keep reopening them. It's a lot of like triple, double checking, mm-hmm. just uh-huh. keeping and opening them.
So question, you know, I'll, let's say I'm a deputy. I did the traffic stop and somebody knocked me out. So I haven't said anything to you. And like you said, there's that whole process. You have deputies coming, but they have those body worn mm-hmm. cameras. Do you guys have any access to mm-hmm. that? You do.
That's a great question. So as a supervisor, comm center supervisor, I have access to it. So that would be another kind of an extra step I would be doing. If a deputy is not answering the radio and all of that, we'll go on there and we can plug into their live stream.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We can use it in emergency situations or if we ask them to do a test, like Laura saw a sergeant. I was like, hey, can we do a little test with you real quick? And she was just like, hi. And we were just sitting watching her in her car. But yeah, that's another thing we'll do too. It's kind of a newer thing. And sometimes a shift commander or the sergeant will get on the radio and say, like, have CS check this because they're also flying to see mm-hmm. if the deputy's okay. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a newer thing, but that is something we can do too.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, I've relayed. I mean, it's not always a good thing because most of the time, probably 9 out of 10 times we have to 10-3 the channel for someone and backup's going, they're just not paying attention. They've turned their radio down or something.
Right,
and they're having a conversation with someone and they're like, oh, this person's fine. Let me just turn this down so I can hear them because my channel's busy.
Yeah.
Right.
So I've had to go in there and check and there's two deputies on a call and one of them, their BWC was off, so I couldn't look at that one. And the other one, I'm like, they're just talking. But both of them had turned down their radios.
Right.
So a good rule, you know, if your deputy listening is that there's two of you, have one of you keep your radio on. Make sure you're looking at each other. Like, you're keeping your radio on? Okay, yeah. It's my responsibility.
So, and that's the thing, too, that I just, balancing all of it, because then you've got calls coming in, and then, you know, we'll say those are reactive, obviously. And then you've got deputies out there doing their proactive thing mm-hmm. somewhere. So when a call comes in, because I've been on ride-alongs or whatever, I've heard, you know, you'll hear people being assigned and then canceling, or then sometimes you'll hear perhaps a sergeant or a shift commander, a sergeant or lieutenant come on and say, actually, why doesn't this unit mm-hmm. go there? Like, whatever. Like, what is that? Like, what is your process like that? Is it literally like who is closest and not busy?
If it's a high priority in progress call, we're going to send the closest available unit. I almost said 10-8, but that just means available. Mm-hmm. We're going to send the closest available units, at least two. If there's more, but if it's a real legitimate in progress call or like an armed person, everyone's going to go.
And they're hearing it too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Everyone's going to go. And they're pretty good about, deputies are pretty good about just hopping on the call and going mm-hmm. instead of getting on the radio and telling us they're going because right. we're uh-huh. trying to read the call notes. And that's an extra task we would be doing, physically putting
and
them on the call.
And deputies can, on their end, they can self-assign yep, to once, any call. And yeah, then you guys see that as well.
Well, don't say any call.
Well.
Once the call has been dispatched, right. they can self-assign to
okay.
it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like until the call... So like they can't see calls holding.
They can. They are just not supposed to grab it without.
Oh, they can. Without, but yes. they're not supposed to.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. The technology is there. The ability is there.
That's good. Okay.
But they could just message you and say, "Put me on that call, mm-hmm. or I'm closed. I'll take that call."
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about Sergeant Viano and mm-hmm. how he was in Squad 2 and mm-hmm. with Matt. Mm-hmm. So he self-assigned mm-hmm. because he saw him.
I actually wasn't. I think he might have been the shift commander that night, wasn't he? I could be wrong.
No, he wasn't because it was Schmittendorf.
Okay.
I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Sergeant, I mean, they can kind of go anywhere. Sergeants have a little bit more leeway, I would say, than deputies mm-hmm. do. But if it's a routine, but not an in-progress call, if it's just like a late reported burglar or something, we try to do it by sector.
Okay.
So they're pretty territorial about like, you know, this is my sector. These are my calls. I'm going to take them for the most part. But if, you know, someone's not available and someone else, we have float cars too. So float cars might take those other calls as well.
Mm-hmm. So the sectors, that's even further breaking down mm-hmm. the little areas of our county, right? I've yep. seen a book of our county with the mm-hmm. little, I guess that's how it used to be done, is you'd have to find exactly where it was.
You probably looked at the grid book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. And I was just blown away. I think I was putting in directed patrol. And mm-hmm. so I had to put in what mm-hmm. the little sector was. And I'm like, holy moly, like to have to do it that way. I'm guessing now it's like, okay, we know exactly because it's a little more automated.
We have dispatchers have been doing this for a very, very long time. And they'll tell us about back in the day when they had the actual book out. And they'd be like, okay, the deputy's in this area. This is grid so-and-so or whatever number it is. And they dispatch them to a call by the grid number. And now we're lucky because our CAT system in a call ticket breaks it down. There's different steps. So the first one would be SO, basically. The next is squad and then sector. It tells us what sector it's in.
You almost wonder, though, if it was still easier back in the day because there wasn't as much information and capability, right?
Yeah,
like the expectation was not...
Yeah. That grid book is thick.
I know, I know. I'm just saying, like, you know, now they've got, and some other system, you know, to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get just all this stuff out of the way. Then we can just tell stories. But
there's just so much to know about it.
Okay, I
got a question.
Go ahead.
So only one telecommunicator per channel mm-hmm. is how each shift goes? Okay, yep. I thought so.
Mm-hmm. What are some kind of just general, you know, rules of thumb? Like you guys are obviously brief. We use 10 codes and signal mm-hmm. codes. Like what are some of the things like, and I want to talk about the dynamic with deputies because there's definitely something there and we could kind of talk about that relationship with deputies and dispatchers. But if somebody, of a member of the general public that doesn't know anything about dispatch or whatever, we're listening to the radio, like what observations would they make? Everything's quick, everything's fast paced, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we basically try to give out the most important information. If it's just, I mean, call notes can be anywhere from, you know, just a few lines to really detailed, like, oh, it's a domestic, they're fighting about him not taking the trash out the night before. You're not going to hear that.
Right.
It's not relevant to the situation. We're going to tell the deputy if it's verbal or physical. If it's still, and if it's physical, we're going to tell them if it's still physical now. We're going to tell them if there's weapons involved, what kind of weapons, or if there's weapons there. I think one of the things that, and maybe even deputies might not know this, we are trying to keep it short and sweet, concise, accurate, and save seconds on the radio to be able to have, because we're not trying to... be on the radio just to talk, to hear our own voice.
Right.
We're trying to give the deputies the most important information and then get back off the radio so that if a deputy needs to be on the radio, they can be on the radio.
Something else.
So we do shorthand a lot. We talked about signals and 10 codes. One of the other things we do specifically in dispatch is we don't say please and thank you. It's very rare. There's only maybe a couple dispatchers that because they've been doing it for a long time, they might say please and thank you. You're not going to hear please and thank you very often from dispatch on the radio. However, if you're looking at my messages, I overuse please and thank you in my messages all day long.
Because
I'm like, this is weird. Like this feels uncomfortable and strange. Because deputies will say please, they'll say thank you a lot. They'll say thank you, ma'am, or whatever. And I'm just like, that's so nice. I can't say it back to you. I'm so sorry. Or I'll say you're welcome out loud. Like I can't say it on the radio.
Right,
I can't hit the foot pedal. Yeah. If you didn't know, we talk with a foot pedal.
No.
Yeah. We can talk with a mouse click too. Okay. But we have an actual foot. That way we can use both of our hands for the actual computer.
You're like a drummer, basically.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
With all the stuff you guys are doing, it sounds like five screens isn't enough.
It's not. Sometimes. And we have to keep things minimized. Like if you notice, I didn't say anything about email. Because email stays minimized. Dispatchers only use email for certain things. As a supervisor, I use email all day, but dispatchers only use email for specific tasks. So it's open. They'll get the notifications if they have something in there, but they don't keep it up all the time.
Dang. Going back to how you talk on the radio, so it's important to keep the channel clear so the deputies can jump on. And that's because they can't talk over each other, right? Like dispatch has priority, so you can jump on top of anybody who's talking on the radio. But they can't talk over each other.
Yeah, they'll actually get a bonk, it'll be blocking them.
Yeah.
So only one of them can be on the radio at a time. And if one of them, if I have something emergency to say, technically we have dispatch priority. So me getting on the radio, they'll only hear me. They won't hear anyone else. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen. We don't have to do that often. I mean, the only time I've ever done that is when I was already talking. And then a deputy doesn't realize I was already talking and they'll say something and I'll finish my thought on the radio and then, or my statement or whatever it is. And then I'll tell that unit again to go ahead after I'm done. I'm like, so-and-so, go ahead with your traffic afterwards.
Are there words you're not supposed to say on the radio?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
For description, a big one is wife beater. People write that in call notes. They'll say that on the radio. I mean, even I've heard a deputy recently say it and the lieutenant immediately messaged us and said, like, don't worry, I'll take care of that. He's new or something like that. So yeah, you're not supposed to use that. There's certain vehicle descriptions for motorcycles that aren't necessarily appropriate to say on the radio. It's called a sport bike, people, or a road bike if it's like a Harley type of bike.
Right.
So I don't know a lot, but I know that.
Right.
Yeah, about descriptions. I mean, actually that... seeing a motorcycle is I know it's a little early for the stories, but there's a good one when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So we also don't just make mistakes on the radio. Like we do say funny things on the radio on accident, but we could also make typing mistakes because we're human. Yeah.
Right.
And once you save it into the call notes, it's in the call
permanent record.
We can mark it confidential. So if the public goes and asks for that call ticket later, it'll be redacted, but it's going to be in there forever. So I had a trainee one time that the deputy was doing a traffic stop on a red scooter. And she forgot the S. And I just watched her do it, and I'm like, I'm not gonna say a word. This is gonna be hilarious.
That's awesome.
So, we have a dark job sometimes. So if you find those little glimmers of humor and comedy, you're gonna do it.
Sure,
it happens.
Oh yeah, it does happen.
And I'm thinking about all the times I'm looking at calls going,
yeah,
who can we spell?
No, I mean, that happens too.
Yeah. My favorite was that Pinellas Park call with the KFC that was on fire.
Gosh.
Where the person wrote, they said they're only going to have burnt chicken
tonight.
Oh no!
It was like only crispy chicken tonight or something like that. It was hilarious.
That was in the call notes?
Yes.
Was that supposed to be like a DM to somebody? Or?
I have no idea. That happened.
I think somebody wanted to get fired.
We weren't dispatching them then. So.
Then somebody like jumped in afterwards, and that was one of the few times that I've gotten screenshots of call notes sent to me.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my god, they're only serving crispy.
Only crispy. And it wasn't even spelled, it was chicklin.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then it's like, that wasn't necessary, but we all still laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can make mistakes and just be intending to send a message to one other person or to a deputy, right? And they go in the call notes by accident, hit enter too fast.
I personally, the only couple times I've accidentally, because it's a different code, you could be in the power line. You can update call notes from the power line. You can also send a message from the power line.
Uh-huh.
And it's UC or AM. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're just busy, like, you might just get those power line commands mixed up. So, it just happens. Like you said, it happens.
It happens.
Say that a lot in the comments. Happens. It happens.
There are worse things that can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how when you come on shift, you're always on a different channel or getting moved around. Obviously, deputies on the law enforcement side, like they work a sector, they work an area, they get familiar with the community they're working with where it's just inherent that you guys are always like moving around. Like, do you build any kind of familiarity with squads and kind of get to know what to expect? I would imagine you would.
Absolutely.
Despite rotating around all the time.
No, absolutely. So I work a I work every shift, but even when I wasn't, I would work evening shift most of the time. And that's kind of cool because you get half day shift, half night shift. And because deputies rotate, you're working with every group of them. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know like what group of deputies or whatever, when we hang up here, you know, when we're done, no, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
We'll hold but you. We all have our little favorites. We have our little areas we like to dispatch for because, you know, it could be because that's where you were from. Like when I first started, mm-hmm. squad one, that was my favorite thing. I was familiar with it. It's easy. It's streets and avenues. There's right. a lot. I would imagine it's the same thing for deputies. Like that's a nice area to learn how to be a cop in if you've never done this before and you're not, especially if you're not from here. When I first started, I had been north of Gulf to Bay like a handful of times besides my time in foster care. Like, so I actually got, you know, a little bit of feedback from my trainer. She's like, you should go up there. You should go driving around up there and know those busier streets. And now if you ask me what, I want to be on Channel 4 all day. I want to be North County because it's the busiest channel.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
It is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's traffic stops, but even when after I was released from training, I was on midnight shift for a year and there was a 45 minute period where there's three stolen vehicles that we came across and had to do what we do to get them to stop. That doesn't happen everywhere. So, yeah.
I would have never guessed north of Gulf to Bay being the busiest channel.
Listen, until I started working here, I too rarely ventured like north of Almerton even. And I'm like, oh my, people are nuts in North County. Like, I think my first week here, we had a DUI on a golf cart with somebody in Dunedin. Oh, yeah. And the only reason that it kind of happened is because they just armored their seat and turned left and just flew out of their golf cart right in front of a deputy.
That's so embarrassing.
And then it's like, oh, you're drunk too. You're drunk and you're a moron. But anyway, I'm like, wow. But yeah, it's wild up there.
Yeah, and it's different.
A lot of crashes, a lot of, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of traffic incidents, but there's other stuff that happens too. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's because I'm not as familiar with it. I like a challenge. I don't think I'd be a dispatcher if I didn't want to be challenged. So that's another part of it too.
And the challenge coming from just the volume and juggling. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular type of call that you enjoy? Or a way that you can,
I mean,
classify
pursuits,
it.
Like if you get a pursuit, cause there's so few and far between with us, for good reason, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you get a pursuit, you're like, yeah, I got a pursuit.
And how does that, because obviously, so in a pursuit, you have kind of a lead car and then you have the second car is really the one that's calling out the position. Mm-hmm, so what are you doing at that point in that situation?
Like, or even a lot of times it's Eagle. If Eagle's up, they're calling out the whole thing.
Sure.
We're updating every single update that they send us, they say to us, we're putting that in the call notes at the same time.
Okay.
You're also moving your map as you go to try to make sure if there's other jurisdictions you need to notify.
Okay.
Cause something could start. I know there's a girl that was in, I don't even think it was a stolen vehicle. I think she just didn't have a license. It started in Pasco County and it ended up at Distant Plaza in St. Pete. Mm-hmm. She went all the way down 49th Street. So then you're notifying Clearwater for part of that. You're notifying Pinellas Park, Largo, St. Pete eventually. So you're kind of like, you're making sure that there's nobody else I need to notify. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you're like looking at your coworkers, say, hey, can you do this for me? Cause I'm a little busy right now.
Right. Cause in that kind of situation, I mean, I guess that's kind of what I was kind of asking earlier about when something's going on, how do you juggle all of it? Because if you have a pursuit on your channel and you're doing all that, mm-hmm. what about the person that's doing a traffic stop somewhere else?
They usually go to a different channel.
Okay.
Deputies and officers are pretty good about just like flipping over. So if it's on channel two, they'll just flip to one or three. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do three. Three ends up getting like, if you have a traffic stop and another channel's busy, it's usually channel three you're going to go on.
And they just go with it.
Yeah. 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 You just say, you know, 10:50 on channel three, channel four is 10:06, which just means, you know, traffic stop on this channel because they're busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that really kind of puts the onus on deputies to kind of read the room or listen to the room.
Yeah, because the weird thing about pursuits is you might not necessarily be 10-3 for them because they're not, if you're actually in pursuit, say you have a forcible felony and you're in a legitimate pursuit and you tell us that you're in a legitimate pursuit, you're going to get the channel. The channel's going to be 10-3 for you. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't actually
unfolding
that way, you're like, oh, I'm following at a distance or whatever. We're not going to give you the channel because you're not actually doing anything that's where we need to give you the channel. Mm-hmm. So you'll every once in a while have some guy and I'll just come up on there and be like 10:50. I'm like, are you kidding me now? Yeah. And but we don't, you know, I say, are you kidding in the background without keying up on the radio. Right. But right after that, there'll be a sergeant or whoever on the radio, like, can you go to this channel instead of this? Like, come on, we're a little busy here.
A little self-policing.
Yeah.
So any good pursuit stories that come to mind?
Oh, there's one.
Yeah.
There's definitely a good one. This was a couple years ago. I think it was 2021, actually. So 3 years ago now, which is mind blowing. A guy supposedly met a girl online and she was getting released from jail soon. Mm. I don't know how you meet someone online that's in jail or how that happened. But
Isn't there a website for that?
There sure is.
Yeah.
What is that? Life After Lockup? That's a TV show all about that stuff.
No, I remember. Anyway, there were some websites that we were legitimately like passing around and laughing about because
interesting.
But they were prisons. They were.
Yeah, I'm like, the show I'm talking about was prison, but I would imagine in jail you can.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That gave me a little break. So
yeah.
Thanks. So he decides he's going to pick up this girl after she gets released from jail, and he does it in a yellow car hauler, meaning a yellow semi-truck.
Like an
18-wheeler semi-truck. It doesn't have any cars on it, so it's just the truck part and then this big trailer that's yellow. I keep saying yellow because it came up multiple times. Because everyone's like, what kind of car is this? It's a yellow car hauler. It's a yellow semi. So he goes to the jail. He decides he's going to pick her up. So he's at the checkpoint. He gives his ID to the perimeter unit. The perimeter unit's like, and by perimeter unit, I mean that's the deputy that's assigned to the jail specifically. He's like, this is a little fishy. So he asks for a backup unit. So this time of night, the closest backup's going to be, in this specific incident, was a DUI unit. One of our echo units was at CBT. So she goes out of CBT, goes to the perimeter unit. So they have this guy's ID in his hand, and then he decides he's going to flee. Even though we already ID'd him. So he backs the car hauler out of the jail, goes northbound on 49th Street. Also, the Eagle's pretty close to that. So it doesn't take the Eagle long to launch for this. And then he goes various speeds northbound on 49th Street all the way into Pasco County. Throughout that time, he almost hit a Sunstar ambulance, almost hit multiple vehicles, ran red lights left and right. The beginning of it, once it's like heating up, I think once he got on the Bayside and it was kind of like, okay, this is real. I was ready. I was like, okay, this is great. Like, you know, comp center's pretty cold. I like whip off my jacket. I throw it down. My supervisor tells the story.
Stand up.
Yeah. One of my supervisors tells the story in training. And she's like, yeah, the dispatcher was all about it. She got her blood pressure went up. So she took her jacket off. Cause it was like, I can't imagine how it is for deputies. Cause I'm ready to go. And I'm just in here. Whole thing lasted about 45 minutes, but he, got stop-sticked multiple times along the way. I had no idea that you could stop-stick a semi. If you didn't know, now you do. And there's Eagle footage of it. You can see the tires are basically on fire because they're just the rims grinding on the concrete.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah. So Eagle's calling it out. There's multiple deputies following, and the deputies are like, well, what kind of car are we looking for? What kind? Because no one's getting it.
Like, you can't miss it.
Yeah, it's a yellow car hauler. We're not exaggerating here.
It's on fire at this point.
Yeah,
and then it's on fire, and Eagle's like, radio, get Pasco FD on standby. And I'm like, sir, they're always on standby. That's what the FD does. They're just there waiting for a call. Exactly. They're not
at Publix. I mean,
they could be. Yeah. I think they're like out of service or something at that point. But I'm like, yeah, we'll get them as soon as you need them. So, but turns out we did need them because the whole bottom of this thing was basically on fire by the time he stopped. And the weird thing about dispatch is you don't always follow up later to see like, what happened with that or whatever. Car hauler was stolen. Was not reported stolen yet because it was housed at a parking situation and the owner didn't know it was stolen until we reach out to her later and, you know, tell her about what happened. And she's like, oh, that was stolen. So it was a stolen car hauler. He was DUI. And the deputy afterwards, they asked him like, hey, why you didn't see all of our lights? Why didn't you stop? And he's like, I thought I was in a parade. What? He's like, that was fun. I thought I was in a parade. And we're like, what are you talking about?
Wow. So,
yeah, 45 minutes. That was a good one.
Wow.
That's a good one.
And meanwhile, the poor girl in jail never had anyone pick her up.
Yeah, she's probably waiting for an Uber still. Yeah.
I'm thinking him showing up with the semi, like, hey, baby, I got a job. Yeah. All cars. Like,
if you're going to steal a car, there are so many other cars you should steal.
He wanted her to know he had a job.
He wanted the whole world to know that he went through.
He could probably get her like 12 cars
because
he could pick them all up.
Yeah. You just pick all your
favorite
cars.
He can provide.
Yeah. This is gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Any other kind of, like, what other kind of call stories do you have out there? I know there's a bunch of them.
Oh, no.
We're going to save, solving the relationship between dispatch and deputies to the very end. So we'll fix that later.
I mean, so we talked about, like, making mistakes, and we're all human and stuff. So some of the funnest stories that I kind of tell and people love to tell about me, shout out to Sherry, It's her favorite story ever. I had a car fleeing in squad three. It was going southbound on, I think, 113th Street, like 54th Avenue on midnight shift. And Deputy Lang at the time, I think he's a detective now, he gets on the radio and he says, dispatch, you just blew my doors off. I had no idea what that meant. I had zero clue what that meant. And my supervisor at the time, who I wouldn't say was like necessarily known for being humorous right away, she stood up and she's laughing, but I don't pick up that she's laughing. And she's like, does he need a wrecker? And I was like, oh, hold on, let me ask. And I get back on the radio. And I'm like, 35, Charlie, did you say he hit the door on your cruiser? And I like have this clarifying question with him. And I got like 20 messages. Like, never seen Dukes of Hazzard, have you? And I'm like, actually I have, but I guess I didn't remember that
missed
part.
That piece.
Yeah, didn't remember that part. We also, one of the calls that I think they're fun to dispatch. I think a lot of people would maybe disagree with me are water rescues, because they're kind of hard to hear them and stuff, and there's a lot going on and you're kind of learning as you go, because there's a lot of water terms. If you've never been on the water or you've never heard these things, you just have no idea what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys went through a little bit of that with Deputy Constant that was in here and everything. Mm-hmm. However, I was dispatching a water rescue one time. They asked for the boat description, and it was a 24-foot Grady White. And I said Grady Judd on the radio.
Easy mistake.
So, yeah.
There was a 25-foot Grady Judd out there. Holy crap.
I think it was right around the time he was doing the bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah, I was like, that's their newest promo.
Yeah. They're probably going to hear about
this. In the Macy's Parade.
Yeah, it's like an inflatable for your front yard. A 25-foot Grady Judd. That's like awesome.
Santa Grady Judd on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So calls.
You had some good wildlife calls too, right?
Oh, there's all kinds. That happens all the time. Yeah. So we love alligator stories around here.
Oh, yeah.
So anything from like, hey, there's an alligator in the parking garage, which happened. Mm-hmm. We didn't know. Dispatcher saw it under a car. And she's like, what? I've had them. So I talked briefly that my husband works for 911. He had a call where an alligator was actually under someone's bed in their bedroom. And the husband calls. He's like, hey, there's an alligator under our bedroom, under the bed in the bedroom. And he asked the call taker, who's my husband, and he's like, should I wake my wife up? My husband's like, I'm sorry, your wife's asleep in the bed? And he's like, yeah, I didn't wake her up. I got up and then I saw it. And he's like, no, don't wake her up. Cause like, she's going to get out of the bed. She could nip the toes, whatever. We don't know how big this thing is or whatever. He's like, no, just tell her to stay in bed for now. Hold on. We'll get deputies out there. Sergeant Eastie, I believe is who it was. He gets out there. They get he's like a little teenager is what we call them. Like I call them little teenagers when they're only a couple feet long. I think they're cute. I'm probably weird, but they get them or whatever. Right.
They're cute.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad my feelings are being validated. So so he gets them and they bring them somewhere else. Turns out it was a really nice night and they left their slider open. So little guy just wandered in there. I think they lived on a golf course. So there's tons of water and everything. Always alligators on golf courses. Yep. So
bam.
So that was that one. And then, poor Lieutenant Buckley. I did ask permission. I do have permission. So
even if you didn't, I don't care. We'll mess with him.
Okay. So he, his squad, well, he was a lieutenant. So squad two got a call about an alligator near Wells Fargo. It was the one on Bryan Dairy and Starkey. Mm. There's a little bit of a ditch there, I would say. Mm. There's an alligator there. So the sergeant was like, we're not dealing with this. Call FWC. Like, we're not doing this. That's their job, right? So I'm like, okay, we'll call FWC. FWC's been notified. They're on their way or whatever. Lieutenant Buckley, here he comes. He's like, oh, I don't care about FWC. Like, I'm going to go out there myself. So he goes to get this alligator, and he was a little bigger than a teenager, I would say. And he got bit by it. But luckily, he's right across the street from the hospital. So
perfect. Works out.
Had to go over there. And
lessons learned.
Yeah, he found another home, and there was a good snake one we talked about too.
Yeah.
Oh, this was good. So this was back when I was just a call taker one day. I think I had just gotten done with call taking training and I hadn't started radio training yet. So I was just on the phones. And part of our tasks, if we're on the phone, is to do requests. So if a deputy needs a cab or something, we'll call the cab company. Or in this case, a deputy was out at an apartment complex in Eastlake. And he's like, yeah, there's a snake. I've got it like kind of contained under these stairs or whatever. So can you call a snake trapper out here? And we have a thing in CAD, and also it's on Sonnet. If you didn't know, it's called the card file. You can search all kinds of stuff in there. You can search the word snake. It'll tell you snake trappers we might have that you can call. Not you as in the public, you as in deputies or dispatch. So oh, I'm calling all these numbers. And I want to say it was like a Saturday night and nobody wanted to come get this thing. So, but eventually, I think it took an hour. I finally got someone that would come out. It was Vernon Yates. Mm-hmm. I think we're all, most of us are familiar with him. So he's on his way out there or whatever. And he gets there and the deputy, it was a fake snake the whole time. He kept it contained under the staircase.
That probably was pretty easy.
Yeah, for a while. I don't think it gave, you know, gave him too much of a fight or anything. It was a fake snake. So Vernon got out there and he had a good laugh about it. I think he called back in and I talked to him and he's like, April, you'll never believe it. And I was like, oh yeah, I did hear that. And the deputy kept it on his dashboard until he retired.
For a while. Smart. Yeah. Until he retired. He's never going to let it down, so you might as well own
it.
No, he
didn't.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Dang.
So on the operational side with deputies, there's always kind of this lighthearted, like, you know, deputies versus dispatch. Because really in any job where you're working in tandem with somebody, we have a partner working, it's like, you know, there's always things that you could do better. There's always things that they can do better. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what you're dealing with and vice versa. You know, what are some of the things, I wouldn't even say conflicts, but what are just some of the things that you run into working with deputies?
I mean, the biggest thing is like not actually waiting for the channel to be clear. So like you'll just click on real quick and need to do something and I'm in the middle of talking or someone else is talking. We're, you know, going back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing is like just wait that couple seconds to make sure you can actually, it's your turn basically. Mm-hmm. Us kind of telling you that it's your turn. It's kind of a big thing. What we say, go ahead. When they say so-and-so, I have this info. We say, go ahead. We really like to be able to do that because we could be doing, we've talked about, we could be doing a million different things.
Right.
We want to be able to be prepared and do it efficiently and be ready to go with whatever they're going to tell us. So sometimes if we're finishing up the last task, we just need that 1 second to get our attention. That's probably the biggest thing.
So they should say who they are, 13 Alpha, and then pause. And then you say.
In a perfect world, if I'm going to, you know, if we're going to go right back to basics, I mean, if you know what kind of call you're going to go out on, say you're not on anything and you're about to call out on a call, obviously we say traffic stop a lot. We say 1050. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't do that with other calls. You could do that with any kind of call. If you're going to be out on a disabled vehicle, you could say 13 Alpha, signal 51. Because that's a disabled vehicle or an assist motorist. You can do that with anything. So ideally, at least just, you know, your identifier is really helpful just to give us that second.
Now, I know there are some deputies that have a really hard time understanding talking to them face to face. I cannot imagine that gets better on the radio.
No, we call it marble mouth. Or you might hear us say things like, can you 10-9, which means repeat. Mm-hmm. And we have to give her, our goal is to give a reason. We don't just 10-9 people just to do that. And usually it's like you're garbled or you're unreadable, but we're basically just saying like, get the rocks out of your mouth and talk
clear.
Right,
try again, yeah.
Yeah,
because, you know, between, and I'm sure you can also kind of get a sense of how they're, like if they're under stress or whatever, like you kind of get familiar and know that sounds too.
Yeah, there's definitely, there's one specific person that always comes to mind when that topic comes up, and it's Corporal Bren, because he has a completely different voice in person than he does on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then if he's really in it, something bad's going on the radio, he has another voice. Mm-hmm. And like I've known him since high school, so I'm like, there's definitely something going on with him. Let me just take a second and you know, zoom him. Which
he is pretty needy.
Yeah. We've got a quick little power line command where we can zoom right to a unit on the map so we can see where they are and then, you know, look and see who's closest and stuff like that to try to figure out what they need.
That's awesome.
We miss him out there. He's, you know, we had some good times.
No, you can have him back anytime. You can have him back anytime.
Oh, no, we want to keep him.
I know. We like, he's fun. All right. What are, you know, I think that, and I would imagine if I were a deputy and you were saying those things to me, you'd be like, well, you know, you're out of the middle of what we're in the middle of, you know, and those sorts of things. And that's just kind of one of the nuanced things that you have to kind of work through with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've kind of really touched on a lot of it, but, you know, are there things specifically like that you also kind of did the location thing already too, but is there anything else that it's really important that the deputies need to understand or officers?
Yeah. I mean, they have a couple different ways. If they cannot get on the radio or they can't actually talk, they can press their emergency button on their radio. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's been accidental. Really recently I had a sergeant that got into a pretty significant crash and that was all he could do at first. And he pressed it and their payroll comes up. So we can figure out who you are and then I can map you. Mm-hmm. And as long as your GPS is working, so make sure your GPS is working. Mm-hmm. We do have the BWC backup because those are mapped too. But if they're not on or your location's not up to date, it's not, none of it's perfect. It's all technology based, but it's, I mean, deputies might not know, be able to tell you who that was that just went into emergency mode or just did that key break. So mm-hmm. I can tell you who the key break is. I can tell you where they're mapping to because I know who they are and everything. And that deputy, that sergeant specifically, he couldn't really get on the radio right away. So by the time he was able to get on the radio, he said something about being, he said rear-ended, but we could barely understand him because mm-hmm. the crash was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But luckily we had mapped him. Mm-hmm. We had gotten deputies going, got him on a call, got deputies going to him. 911 was getting calls at the same time from people involved or witnesses. So mm-hmm. he had help on the way, but you might think that you can do everything without us, but there are specific circumstances where we're there to help you and right. we're your lifeline in some ways.
Are there any like generational differences that you see like with more seasoned deputies and younger deputies?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The seasoned deputies definitely have an inherent respect with dispatch. They understand that because back, you know, a long time ago, they didn't have all this technology and everything. Right. So like we're, you know, they've been around for long enough to
water
know,
their horses and everything.
Yeah. they're only getting the information that we would give them before. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a little bit of a disconnect. So we encourage anyone, you know, any of the new guys, I know there's a couple FTOs that like to bring their deputies into the comm center. I would love it one day if we could have that built into like the FTO program or something, they can come and sit with us and see.
That would be fantastic.
I think you were surprised.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that goes on it, and we're not telling you to do certain things just because we want to, just because right.
You're not being controlling. Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah, our system's set up a certain way to do things a certain way, and we want to be able to do them as efficiently as possible.
Yeah. For their safety.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Something else that we were talking about, or I've heard mentioned before, is dispatch priming. Mm-hmm. And that was, I know, something that I think Laura mentioned to me as well, where you really have to be careful. And I would imagine this would kind of go to everyone, really. I mean, you guys are obviously entering the information, but being very mindful of what's said and how it's said, because it can mm-hmm. kind of change the outcome of a call.
Absolutely. There's articles about that and studies about that, that if a law enforcement officer is told that there's a weapon involved, that they're more likely to get into a shooting, whether there's a weapon there or not, based on if they were told there was. So it starts with the caller, because sometimes call notes are only as good as the caller is. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of, there's live 911 now where deputies can actually listen to 911 calls. I think at first everyone was like, yeah, I'm going to use this or whatever. It's kind of tapered off a little bit, but sometimes, you know, they'll plug in and they'll listen, and that kind of gives them the true tone of the call, because you could have a call that looks like it's way up here at the very top of the dangerous level, and then it's really not. It's, you know, a person that's having a mental health crisis and they're seeing something that's not actually there or whatever, mm-hmm. or someone's just kind of exaggerating or whatever the situation is. But yeah, dispatch priming is really, it's a real thing. It can be kind of something that changes the outcome of things. So we, as dispatchers, really keep that in mind. If a call notes say that there's a weapon, I want to know, what do you mean there's a weapon? I need more specifics. I want to know, is it in their hand? Are they threatening with it? Or did they use a gun last week at the shooting range? Like, I need to know details. What kind of weapon is it? So if you put, you know, same thing with the line that says no weapons. If you put no weapons on a domestic, did you ask if there's weapons in the house? Or did you ask, you know, is there weapons right now? Because there's a difference, because those things can change.
And we get a lot of, like, all the time you see armed person calls pop up because some jackass brandishes a gun driving down the road or whatever, and like a road rage kind of thing. Yeah. So,
yeah, we try to go with, for the most part, we try to go with the highest priority, because there's a little bit of we want you to act, but this also goes on the deputies too. Like, you need to be prepared for it to be a real situation, a real weapon. Whether the call says signal 12, which is just reckless driver, or signal 0, you need to be prepared either way. Mm-hmm. So some of that's on the deputy, but some of that I can definitely see, you know, changing your reaction and everything, because an armed person comes in on our side as red. So that gets my adrenaline going right away. If it comes in blue, I'm like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, just, it's very
so
real.
Is your voice the same no matter what?
No, I would say no, because we try not to convey tone too much. We try to speak not in monotone, but we try to speak in a clear, I don't want to say pleasant, because you could be dispatching something that's not a pleasant situation and you don't want to sound happy about it, but you definitely don't want to sound disgruntled or like you're inconvenienced by this call or whatever, because you never know. It could come across like, you could think it's real, and it could be someone that's just having a mental health crisis, or it could be a mental health crisis that, you know, turns into something bigger. So you just never want to sound, again, disgruntled, disinterested.
So just to clarify, because I know we're talking about so many different things, but with dispatch priming, because you guys are looking at the notes and dispatching deputies and preparing for anything extra they may need, the dispatcher is talking to the caller and you're communicating with them to ask further questions of the call taker.
So yeah, we can send messages to 911 under very intense circumstances. We might, you know, holler if we need to. Doesn't happen often, but we can, you know, kind of shout across the room to get them. Hopefully they're closer. And if they're really far away, we're not going to do that. But if they're like one pot over, I might just say it out loud to them.
When you're saying things like they said there, it was a domestic and there was weapons, and you're sitting here thinking, okay, is there weapons in the house? Who are you asking that to?
We're asking the call taker to ask an additional question of them. Okay. That happened.
Okay. So I did get that.
Okay. That actually happened two times in one day last week. Two different calls. One, I want to say, was a domestic, and we asked, you know, the deputy wanted to know, does he have any history of weapons? Colonel's already said no weapons, but we still take that second. You tell the deputy, well, the call notes say no weapons, let me clarify. And then you clarify, it turns out the guy's known to have a knife on him regularly. So that's a little different than no weapons, in my opinion.
Right.
I forget what the other one was, but it was the same thing. I think it was another domestic or maybe a juvenile trouble. It might have been a juvenile son fighting with the dad or something. And the mom wasn't there. She was kind of a third-party caller. And the deputy wanted to know if there was weapons in the house. So we said no weapons in the call notes, but we just asked to clarify. They keep a shotgun in the house, but the mom who wasn't there was the only person that knew where it was, supposedly. You never know.
Right. Well, every house has a kitchen. There's weapons in there.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So we try to say, like, I mean, when I'm taking them, I'll be like, no weapons other than kitchen knives, because it's accurate. Yeah. You just never know.
Right.
And with these calls that come in, and it may be somebody who is having a mental health crisis, but they're not going to tell you that. You guys are just taking the information as it's given to you. Mm-hmm. And there's no inferring or anything that can happen. You guys just have to relay it as it was given through the call taker.
For the most part, you can kind of pick up on some of the things people say. If they're talking about, you know, there's colorful balloons in the sky coming after me or whatever, like, you're going to pick up that it's a mental health thing. Or we have ACES. We do a lot of research. That's my favorite thing to do as a dispatcher, is to be able to be, not favorite thing, but something I try to do consistently, is if I'm dispatching a call and there's people information, meaning there's names, date of birth, phone numbers. You can take a very little amount of information, put it in an ACES, and get information on someone. Mm-hmm. And all the time, you might get a little caution note. You might just get history, tons of Baker Act history or whatever it is. And those are important things to relay.
Gotcha. So the
priming still, can be though, positive or negative.
So even though, you know, they said, you know, there's tigers in the sky or whatever, still with the call taking notes, you can say that's what they said, but you can't say like, this person's.
I wouldn't personally say things like that on the radio, because they're not really relevant, except like if it's something where it's in progress and they're saying like they're being attacked or something, and then it's starting to get a little fishy, I might give them a little more detail if they're not in their car or something.
Okay, gotcha.
The information thing, and I feel like we talked about this with somebody else on a different episode, I don't remember, but as far as just deputies only being as good as the information they have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of instances, I think, where the public may perceive our response to be excessive or just different in some way, or not what they would expect, but it's like, well, this is all we have is the information to go by. I mean, how many calls do we get of somebody walking with potentially a gun or something when it turns out to be something totally different? Like, we are not in a position to gamble on that.
Yeah.
And you know, that's an important piece of it. So that's all really good stuff.
Yeah. We had a call in the Dunedin Causeway that I dispatched, and it came out as an armed person. It said the person had a rifle and they were shooting into the water. Deputies got out there and it was a potato gun. He was shooting fish with a potato gun. Doesn't mean that it's not a gun technically, or we're not going to act one way until they get there.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that, you know, sometimes you forget to follow up, but I mean, this is kind of the elephant in the room really, is you all get to see one side of the call. Some of the things you hear about are very interesting. Some might be really difficult to process. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you guys? Because, and I guess, now knowing what I know, I guess you're not always burdened with hearing the caller, potentially hearing the victim's end of a call, which that would be, I'm not saying it makes your job any easier, but that would make it a lot worse, obviously, if you, and I assume you could later or whatever, but just to kind of, let's go assume the worst and somebody's having something really bad's happened to somebody and you guys are just trying to go through the motions. Like, How do you all deal with that? How do y'all, you know, work with that? Are you able to, you know, if you get a bad call, you're able to like step away for a minute? That's what radio relief perhaps is mm-hmm. for. I mean, how does that play out?
Yeah, I mean, we've been there, we've experienced it. So when the, you know, death of Deputy Magley happened, mm-hmm. I was working, I was on channel one, Kurt on channel four, sitting right next to me. Megan Bewley was on the channel mm-hmm. and our supervisors at the time did a great job getting radio relief on that channel as quickly as they could. Mm-hmm. So to get her off of that channel, and it's not always that bad. So yes, I don't hear 911 callers, you know, blood curdling screams into the phone, because that does happen. Mm-hmm. I've heard those calls later, because as a supervisor, one of the things we have to do is pull tape reports, mm-hmm. pull tapes. And we all have our things that might trigger us.
Sure.
Per se. So I've lost a family member to suicide. So suicides are particularly difficult for me. Mm-hmm. So there's some times where I have to just turn around, take a second, recompose myself and turn back around. I don't want to say luckily, because nothing about this is lucky. But when we get one of those hot calls, it comes in as a certain priority usually. And I talked about adrenaline. And I think adrenaline gets me through to be able to do the job well enough. And then I can step back and
decompress.
Take a moment when I can. Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes in as a low priority call is when it really gets to me, at least personally. But yeah, we're good about helping each other. And if we look over at someone and we see they have a difficult call, and supervisors too, since we're monitoring all the calls, we're seeing all the calls come in, mm-hmm. you know, and I can go down there and say like, hey, how you doing? You want a second? And mm-hmm. we'll get someone to take their channel.
So, and yeah, so as a supervisor too, so you're monitoring all mm-hmm. that stuff all the time. We kind of even didn't go down that path.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, oh,
what do you do as a supervisor?
Exactly.
3 hours
nothing.
Late down.
Yeah.
But so as a supervisor though, you have access to all the same stuff because mm-hmm. you mentioned you can pull up all the units and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you can
monitor. We actually keep all the units and all the calls monitored at the same time. We don't filter it down to a specific squad.
And you
as
could,
a supervisor.
You could dispatch if you needed to. Yes.
Yeah, I can plug in really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're having a technology issue, or I can grab my headset and just go down and plug in if someone needed to you know, take a second or something.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
What else you guys got?
Do you want to talk about what you do as a supervisor? As
sure.
a yeah. assistant supervisor?
So part of, you know, most of what we do on a daily basis is I talked about our email a lot and teletype. So those two things are pretty connected. Teletype messages will come in, then they forward them to my email. And there's different things we have to take action on. It could be anything from an abuse hotline notification where we need to put a call in for a deputy to go investigate something, to another agency asking us to go deliver terrible news to someone's loved one, that their loved one passed away. So we monitor that stuff. We also call if there's a wrecker, a tow truck called for any deputy, any call or whatever. So comm center supervisor is the one making that call. So we have to log those. We make those phone calls. We have our supervisor line. If you didn't know, after 5 p.m., if you're having an IT issue, you actually call the comm center supervisor and we try to help you out a little bit. And then if we can't help you out and it needs to be an emergency on-call thing to IT, we'll make that notification to them. And then a lot of the other, so we talked about those 5 screens. In addition to those 5 screens, we have I think it's like a 48-inch monitor that has 7 other programs into it. It's got agency cameras, agency alarms. We work the gates that are at the SAB we can control.
So you can see the cameras that are all over the agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you.
Yeah,
I
got a little paranoid after, after I saw all the places
like
you
brother.
Can see.
Yeah, you were watching Jana when I was over there filming
yes.
her for that video.
Yes.
And she threw her papers and fell yes. down as a part of the video. And then you were like, are you okay?
I literally messaged
you
her. Yeah.
Yes.
Cause I saw her. I was like, oh my God, does she have a really difficult person there? And they're like fighting her. Do I need to get her help? I think I called her too on
yeah.
the phone,
just
right?
Some PR
yeah.
magic.
Yeah. And she's like, oh no, PR. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I was
okay.
just acting.
Yeah, I had no idea that you guys watch those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That but makes sense.
It's yeah. for when they do have a yeah. difficult person. And
now,
help.
Yeah. Now as an assistant supervisor, is there a supervisor on every shift, or you're just like, how does that
I can do everything a supervisor
right.
as a comm center supervisor.
But you're like not both there at the same time, or you are?
No, the goal is that we're both there at the same
okay.
time. There's only a couple 8-hour blocks throughout the week that there's only one supervisor scheduled. For the most part, 2 supervisors are scheduled, but that means you can take a day off. So we can work on our own. We can do everything a comm center supervisor can do. They just have a little bit more responsibility than we do.
Mm-hmm.
By a little, I probably mean a lot. But mm-hmm. They have more responsibility than us. But we can do, as far as the day-to-day monitoring everything, they mm-hmm. can do, we can do the same things.
All of it.
Yeah. And then there's tons of school cameras on there, too. Like, every public school, we have access to that.
What? Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of technology that's
coming
about.
I mean, I know
why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
Just to get ahead of what's happening there.
Yeah. We've done, I think the agency's done a great job preparing for hopefully when that never happens. But
yeah,
it does, we're,
you never want to use any of it, but we're ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And then you can see the flight camera too, right?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Yes. I was like, can you watch that live?
Yeah, we have a login. All the supervisors have a login to the downlink so we can put it up there. I've seen some good stuff. I've seen some bad stuff. But yeah, it's a good one. Actually, I think I told you about it the other day. Car fled from us and then it kind of crashed on 275 and three people got out of the car and fled on foot. And Eagle was up already for it. So Eagle sees the three people. He leads deputies to one of them. And we watched the person as the trash can kind of fell over and the person fell out. And that's how the deputies found them.
That's funny.
Yeah. Mm. That's what I'm going to say about that.
Is there anything like other than, I mean, obviously that's really cool to watch, but is there anything that you're doing while that's happening? Because I know the tactical flight deputy is calling out where they are and everything, mm-hmm. but is there anything doing?
That's up there for us to just be prepared if something happened, like
okay.
that type of thing. I also think it's a little bit up there for entertainment purposes because it's pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. But our main job is still, if my phone rings, I'm going to answer the phone. If a dispatcher needs me, I'm going to help the dispatcher. That's okay. definitely not something that we're monitoring for anything operationally. It's just an additional feature that we have.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if something like crazy happens, you saw it in real time, you don't have to wait for them to relay it.
Yeah, I mean, if it got really bad and I saw like a crash happening or something, I could tell the dispatcher like, hey, they're going to need, there's a little bit of a delay with the downlink anyway.
Oh, okay.
So the deputy is probably going to be on the radio asking
faster.
For FD anyway, faster. Mm-hmm. But the possibilities are definitely there.
Unbelievable.
That's
but
cool.
It's just, I mean, it's probably, I mean, when we do Citizens Academy, we walk them through there kind of the first night and just for a little teeny tiny.
Yeah, I'm like,
just walk through it.
And we actually, surface.
And Lori Collins with Canada 1, mm-hmm. she does the walkthrough because she's the guru. Mm-hmm. But it's just, there's just so much to unpack up there.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on and people just don't get it. And hopefully they do now because they listen to this episode. But
it's fascinating.
There's a ton
I can
of stuff
never
happening.
Do it.
No.
But
sure.
still,
it's really fun.
It's really fun. I think not hearing the caller would be helpful for me because I'm such an empath that I would just take on what they're saying. Whereas if I'm focused on, okay, I'm dispatching this and doing all this, but I think I got ADHD and I would just
I feel
forget
the same
to
way.
Do things.
There's no way I could do, I mean, I have the utmost respect for people that work for 911 because I could not be on, I've listened to those calls after the fact and they hear some of the worst things and they just have to be there and they have to keep their composure and just get the caller through it until help can get there. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. And they have the same thing we have where we don't always know the outcome. You can't visualize what actually happened later. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the hardest part because you're getting all this traumatic things on top of you and you're not really getting the closure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even realize until sometimes it becomes too much. And then you're like, okay, I need to check in with my mental health here for a little bit.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Do you find yourself, I mean, I have so much respect for what you guys do because you have to have, obviously, like Ashley just said, like there's a ton going on. Does that spill over into your personal life? Like, are you really good at chaos elsewhere?
I would say so. I love planning things.
Yeah.
So if it's a birthday party or anything I actually got my notary this year to be able to perform my best friend's wedding.
Oh, nice.
But I was also her maid of honor at the same time as the officiant. So I was going around doing all kinds of stuff that day. The photographer was actually like, do you want a job as a wedding planner? I could help you. And I'm like, I don't know. I really like my job, but that sounds fun.
A mental 5 screens up even when you're off duty.
Yeah. I mean, I try to shut it off sometimes. So I'll try to be like, you know, someone else should plan dinner or whatever, but then if dinner sucks and I could have planned it, I want to plan it.
It could have been better. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm stuck in that forever.
Yeah. I mean, and I would imagine too, being able to turn it off and get out of here is a good thing. What do you like to do for fun?
I love going to the beach or going to the water. I mean, this is probably that month or month and a half. That's the worst time to go because it's so hot right
Everybody
now.
Everybody else is and it's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did go over a couple weekends ago. We went over to the East Coast. We have a friend over there and we went into the Atlantic Ocean. It's considerably colder than it is over here. It was so nice.
It is, yeah. It's like bath water out there.
Yeah, no.
We don't go to the beach as often as we should living here.
We don't.
Or at least go by the water,
you
know?
Yeah. But if I can, I love being by the water. I love spending time with friends and family. I know that's kind of
cliche,
a simple answer, cliche, but it's true. Quality times.
That's why I hang out with people.
Exactly, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we always kind of like to give our guests an opportunity if there's something that the public can do to make their job easier. This is your time.
Public? I have two. Can I do two?
Yeah, of course.
So for the public specifically, if you call 911 or if you accidentally did or whatever, just stay on the phone. Mm-hmm. If you accidentally call 911, just stay on the phone and let them know. Also, if you have one of those phones that, you know, calls automatically or mm-hmm. has those extra features and you don't feel like you actually need them, mm-hmm. if you're not a fall risk, turn that thing off, mm-hmm. basically. So that's a big thing. If you call 911, just stay on the phone, let them know it was an accident, if it was an accident.
Because we're going to call back.
Yeah, we're going to keep calling back. Right. And then, you know, it can turn into a huge thing. Speaking of that, there was a guy that called like 80 times one day. He was on his motorcycle, didn't know his phone was wedged in his pocket.
Oh, no.
He was just on this nice, he finally answered after like an hour and a half. We got him on the phone, but I'm getting off topic now. But yeah, stay on the phone. And then I would say for deputies, just make sure your dispatcher knows where you are because your GPS might fail you. So it's important.
Go back to old school when you have to.
It's important.
Good stuff, April. We really appreciate you,
coming
on and chatting with us. You didn't seem nervous at all, which is good, except for your little tiny hamster amount of water you poured yourself in your limited edition cup. It's still there. Look at that.
There you go.
But we appreciate it and sharing the incredible work that you all do up there. I know you're just a little tiny piece of the cog in the wheel up there, if you will, but you're obviously a big part of our success that we have you and all your colleagues up there. So thank you very much. Laura, this is your time.
This is me.
If you have any feedback for us, you want to get in touch with us, there's a way to do that.
You can email us at lets56@pcsonet.com. That's lets56@pcsonet.com.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That wasn't the best one yet.
I know, I know. I got kind of a little cold, so voice is off.
We are also on Instagram, 56 Podcast, just spelled out. We have our own Instagram account where we might post some additional content that you may not see on the Sheriff's Office Instagram. We promote 56. So with that, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.